So let's read from Matthew's Gospel. Right at the end of Matthew's Gospel, just before Jesus left this world, he arranged a meeting with some of his disciples in Galilee, which was a long distance from where Jesus was killed and rose again. It says here, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" It's really an interesting reading, that, isn't it? That part where it says, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. You know, it just shows that these guys were not just gullible. You know, they were struggling. They were struggling to really come to terms with Jesus' resurrection. But they were persuaded, and most of them died professing it. But anyway, we're not looking at that today. We're looking at baptism. We just witnessed a baptism. What is baptism all about? We know that it has to do with being a Christian. Something to do with being part of the church. But what does it really mean? And why do we do it? The simple answer to the last question, that is why we do it, is because Jesus commanded it, as we've just read. Jesus said, go into the nations and baptize. Before he left this world, Jesus told all of his disciples to go into the world, make disciples and baptize people. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ baptizes people. But why? Why did Jesus command it? What does it all mean? And why is it so important? Baptism is a summary of the Christian message. If we understand baptism, we really understand the heart of Christianity. Today, I want all of us here at least to understand what Christianity is about. I would prefer that we all go away Christians. Even if we didn't come this morning as a Christian, that would be my highest aim. It's so good. It's so good to be a Christian. And I would hope that all would share in that. Let's think about baptism. I have an outline there, a very brief, basic outline, but just to show you where we're going. 2 points. Baptism is about us. And then secondly, baptism is about Jesus. So let's first think about baptism is about us. Sorry, I've got this thing in my throat. Baptism says something about us all. It tells us that we all have a fundamental need. Even if you've not realized it, we all acknowledge we have some needs, but there's a fundamental need that baptism reminds us about. And that need is for a washing. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting a physical washing, Baptism obviously won't do that. Well, it might in certain circles. You certainly won't here with a bowl of water. It's not going to wash your body. Baptism is a symbolic washing. And it symbolizes a deeper washing, a soul washing. The word baptism that comes into English from Greek is used in the New Testament of symbolic washings. The Greek word baptizo, you can hear the similarity between baptism. It has to do with symbolic washing. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses where the word baptizo is used, and we can read it and understand something of how it's being used in these particular verses. The first verse is Mark chapter 7 and verse 4. And here Mark is describing for us regular Jewish practice in his day. It says, and when they come, that is Jewish people, when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. Literally, baptize themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing, it's baptism, the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. There's the word translated here, cleanse and washing. Luke 11:38 is another reference. Luke 11:38 says this, when the Pharisees, they were the super religious Jewish people, when the Pharisees saw it, he was surprised, sorry, when the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he, that's Jesus, had not first, here's the word, ceremonially washed before the meal. Ceremonially washed before, he wasn't baptized. That's the Greek word there. And then lastly, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 10, and there's lots of discussion about Jewish ceremonies. And he says this, since they, that is their Jewish ceremonies, they relate only to food and drink and various washings. Regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. Washings, there's the word again. So we see from these uses of the word that it has to do with washing. And for the Jewish people, it's a symbolic washing. Oh, there might have been some hygienic value to it. But essentially, it was symbolism. It was not to clean, particularly these baptisms in the Old Testament or the Jewish setting, were not to clean the body, but they were primarily symbolic of that need for a deeper washing. Now, what kind of deeper washing are we talking about? This is when we're getting right to the heart of baptism. And I'm going to turn to one verse in the book of Acts. Acts 22 and verse 16. Acts 22 and verse 16. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling upon his name. This is what we're talking about with baptism. You and I have sinned. That is, we've done wrong. And most of us would acknowledge that. We've done wrong. We've done wrong against others. We've done wrong against God. And that has made us dirty. The biblical word that's used is defiled, but that's what it means. It means to be dirty. It's corrupted us in some way. We're not as innocent, if we can use that term, innocent as we once were. As we live in this world, we get dirtier and dirtier. The Bible says that we get more and more twisted, more deformed. Now, we may not see that, but God sees that. But I do think, even though we don't see it very clearly, we may not even acknowledge that, yet I do think that if we're honest, if we take a good hard look at ourselves and our life, we can see hints that tell us of this inner dirtiness, this inner corruption. I think we can see a change in us as we get older. We're not as we were when we were children. There is something of an innocence in children. Now, I'm not saying a full innocence, because I don't think that's true. I've got a little guy there. He's beautiful, but he's not innocent. But there is something of an innocence that he has that I don't have. I've lost something of the innocence he has. He hasn't done the things I've done. Praise God. And that makes him different than me. And that's a way we can see that my life, the things I've done, they've had an effect upon me. They've corrupted me in some way. They've made me different than my little boy. And I think it's the explanation why it's taken some of the enthusiasm of life from us. As compared with a little child, I look at him and I see, boy, he loves life. He loves life. There's an enthusiasm. There's a joy. I used to have that when I was his age, I'm sure. But as I moved on through my life, I lost that. I think that's a sign of this dirtiness that I'm talking about. Another way we could see this is this, that often as we do wrong things, our consciences become less troubled about it. You know, the first time you do a sin or a wrong thing, you feel really bad. The second time, what happens? The third time? The fourth time? Before too long, you don't even think about it. Think about the first time you ever told a lie. How'd you feel? How'd you feel? A little child, I don't know if you can remember that far back, probably felt pretty bad. You would have felt something. But it seems that as we move on, we tell little lies and don't even think about it. Oh, they're white lies, aren't they? Cover it over. But our consciences aren't as sensitive. And that happens in a whole area of lives. I was thinking too about, you know, what we watch on television. We make a distinction, don't we, between what's appropriate for children and what's appropriate for adults. Why? Why? Why would some of the things we watch, why would it trouble a child but it doesn't trouble us? There, I think, again, at least in part, I know there's some, you know, maybe some things that doesn't apply to, but there's some areas with what we watch, we know that it would have a corrupting influence. We hide it for them, from our children. We say, this is not for young eyes, but it's for adult eyes. Why? We may see and feel this dirtiness within with a sense of guilt and shame as well. Many have struggled with that, a sense of guilt and shame. We look back on the things we've done and said and we feel ashamed. And sometimes we can't shift that. There's a dirtiness, there's a corruption, there's something happened to me since I've done wrong. Oh, it affects us, I believe, in so many ways. I would suggest that this dirtiness, this corruption, actually makes us more fearful, less secure, more sensitive to criticism, less forgiving of others, less trusting of others. Again, a difference with a child. They're forgiving and they're often very trusting. But we're corrupted. We don't do that. We're unforgiving. And as a consequence, we lack joy. We lack the joy of a child, as I've already said. We smile less. Corruption, I would suggest, you might put it down to something else. You might say, oh, that's because life is painful. I've been kicked too many times. Well, that might be true. And maybe you do smile less because you've had that many kicks. But I'd say also, it's not only the things that have happened to you, it's the things you've done to people. How you've treated people, the things you've done in secret, the things you've thought in your mind, it's had an effect on you. Lastly, too, I think we can see it in this way. This dirtiness, this corruption. It seemed primarily in our relationship with God. There's a hardness toward God. Yeah. Hardness toward God. Children ask questions. I knocked on a door. Yes, it was actually Katie Phillips and I. Knocked on a door yesterday. And the lady was just telling us about all these questions her children have about God. And they're asking and they're wanting to talk. And it's very common. Anyone that's been involved in ministry to children see that children have lots of questions. They're interested. They want to learn about this God, even if they haven't been taught about him. But it's hard to find adults that are like that. My experience is that when I want to talk to people about God, I don't get the response that I would from a child. There's a hardness toward God. Why? Why? Oh, it's that dirtiness. It's that corruption. We need to be washed. You and I, we need to be washed. We need to be washed, not only for this life, not just so we can have an increased sense of personal happiness, not only for what we might call our mental health. I would think it would affect many people's mental health. But for this reason, you and I need to be washed. And here's the reason. Here's the reason why this is vital for you. It's not just about Bree being baptized, it's about it all. One day, you and I are going to stand before an all-pure God. Then we will realize just how dirty we are when we stand in the presence of his light. We're told he'll expose everything. You know, that light is such a penetrating light that it'll penetrate right to the depths of your soul and expose it all. And he won't let us into heaven. We shall be thrown out. Listen to what it says. The last book of the Bible, the second last chapter of the Bible. So right at the very end there. It says this about heaven or God's kingdom. Nothing unclean. And no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The unclean will not be allowed in. Need I say that is serious? Nothing more serious. Now, you may feel uncomfortable about what I'm saying. This may make you feel very uncomfortable and wish I wasn't saying it. But I must, because this is the teaching of the Bible. It's God's message to us. It's actually a message of love. It's God telling us the problem now. Better than learning it later. Now, we can ignore what's being said for now. We can shut our ears. We can say, I want to just go on with living my life as I have. But let me tell you, you won't be able to ignore it forever. You will have to face it. You will have to face this issue. Better to face it now while there's still hope. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't bury your head in the sand. You've got to face it. Now we're moving on to the second part. We've thought about what baptism has to say about us. We need a wash. But baptism is also about Jesus. Baptism is symbolic. It's not the water, the physical water, that washes us. There's nothing magical about this water. I didn't, bless this water. No incantations were placed upon this water. This is just regular old tap water. It doesn't wash us spiritually. Many have got this wrong. Many have got this wrong, thinking that baptism will wash their soul. It's a symbol. It's a symbol. It teaches something. It reminds us of something. Well, here, what does this water symbolize? What does it symbolize? It symbolizes being washed by the blood of Jesus. Chapter 7, verse 14 says this. It talks about people, and there's a dialogue going on in this verse. And the angel says to John, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, this seems very strange because most of us know that blood doesn't make anything white. How does blood make a person clean? Blood in the Bible means sacrifice. And particularly this blood is Jesus' blood. It refers to his sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself upon the cross. We're coming to Good Friday. This is what Good Friday is about. On the cross, Jesus dealt with our sin that makes us dirty in God's sight. On the cross, the sin of God's people was placed on Jesus. He died for our wrong deeds. Another way to say it, he actually took them from us. We can think of an imagery. He took all of our dirty laundry away and took them away to make them clean. And he did that upon the cross. Our dirt was placed on him. And he paid their price in blood. And this is what makes us clean before God. A couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. It says this: "But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested or revealed to put away sin." How? By the sacrifice of himself. Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This is what Jesus was doing. He died to make us clean. We only get baptized once. Why? Because Jesus' blood is able to make you clean. And when you're clean, that's it. You are clean forever in his sight. So just as that water went upon Bree's head and trickled down, that was a reminder to her, a symbol. You are clean in my sight. And always will be. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he go to the cross? Why did he face such agony? Love. Kindness. Mercy. He did what you and I could never do. We need to be clean, and this is the only way to be clean. He had to do it for you. There is more that Jesus does. That's symbolized in baptism as well. He also comes to live in us. I'm not going to elaborate on this, but I just thought I'd mention it. He comes to live in us. And then when he comes to live in us, he begins the process of washing us in the inside, of changing the people that we are. Ezekiel. I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I'll wash away those sins from within you. Now, where does that leave us? Well, I want us to feel the weight of this for ourselves. I want us to hear it for ourselves today. Jesus has done this. But he does it, in a sense, for those who want it. He doesn't force this upon you. That's the kind of king and ruler and God that is, that made us and that made you. He doesn't force it upon you. If you want to stay dirty, well, hey, that's up to you. If you love being dirty and don't want to give it up, then that is your choice. But if you do want to be clean, then he will make you clean. Wonderful story of Jesus in Mark's Gospel. Right at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, a leper comes. It was, again, in the Jewish system, it was symbolic of being unclean. It says here, verse 40, and a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him, falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And listen to how Jesus responds. It says, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. That's the power of Jesus now. For all of those that want to be clean, I am willing. Or some translations say, I will. It is my will that you be clean. Be clean. And he can say that to you today. You don't need to clean yourself up. You can't. You need to come as you are. Do you want to be clean? Clean on the inside. Clean before God. You need to come to him. You need to admit that you are not clean. That you've done many wrong things. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to ask him to take it all away. And he has promised to do so. You will be clean before God and welcome into heaven. How does that sound to you? How does that sound to you? Is that not good news? Christianity is good news. It offers you things you can't get anywhere, and it offers them to you freely. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to offer money. You don't have to amend your ways. This is God's free offer for you today. Come and be clean. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a gracious God, as we sang right at the beginning, who is a pardoning God like you? Lord, we come now before you and we all confess together that we need to be clean. We acknowledge, Lord, that we've done many things that have made us dirty. Dirty in ourselves, yeah, but more dirty in your sight. And we can't wash it away. Like I think it was Macbeth who couldn't wash away the blood from his hands. So we cannot wash away the dirt from our souls. Please, Lord, help us. Please, Lord, make us clean. And for any of us, Lord, who do not know this, for any of us that may be new to all of this, Lord, we pray that you would speak to them and make these things true and real to their own souls. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your offer. And we thank you for all of us who know that cleansing. We praise you, our God, because we are clean because of Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now a song, Lamb of God.
Love they crucified, they laughed and scorned.